Whew, I feel like I've ran a marathon today. It's had a great day this morning. Let me encourage you to, I'll get to that a little bit later. It's good to have John and Diane Barr with us, missionaries to the deaf reaching for Christ with Silent Word Ministries. I've asked him if he'd come take a few minutes to tell us a little bit about the ministry, the need for the deaf ministry. They travel a long way from Georgia coming out here. I guess they come out here once or twice a year, and I'll let him fill you in on some of that. Brother Barr, so good to have you with us tonight.
Thank you, Pastor. Good. It's a great joy to be here with you. Yes, we just drove in just for this meeting, and we're on our way back. No. We actually are conducting deaf ministry meetings out in the West here in Arizona, in Phoenix. We did that yesterday. We call it a Fantastic Saturday, and it's an area-wide meeting for everybody interested in deaf ministry, and we try to encourage and challenge, preach and teach, present the gospel. We have a lot of fun throughout the course of the day. And then we were in the church, the deaf church there in Phoenix. Signs of Life Baptist Church is a good Baptist church there. And we were there for the Sunday morning service and afternoon service and here tonight. Then this next week, we will be headed to California to do exactly the same thing with the church there in Southern California. And ministries from all over the area, from San Diego all the way up to Lancaster, will be coming to that meeting. And we're looking forward to encouraging those ministries. We've been doing this for a number of years. One of the songs that we sang tonight was More About Jesus Would I Know. And our ministry began actually back in 1966, not with us, but with Dr. Ted Camp, who is a pastor in our local area near Trenton, Georgia. And he was the pastor of the church, and a deaf man got up and sang More About Jesus Would I Know, and his heart was broken. He said, I need to help the deaf know more about Jesus. And he began a newspaper, mimeographed, if some of y'all remember the old mimeograph machines, mimeographed, and sent it to 50 people. Well, now that newspaper has grown. I gave one to Pastor this evening. We print 10,000 of those. We send them all over the United States. We use volunteer help to get all of this out. Silent Word Ministries began as that newspaper, Silent Word, but now it's ministries, and so we have a wide variety of ministries that we do. Online ministries, we have a lot of literature that we produce, 350-plus titles, I think it is. And we make that available at a very low cost for deaf people and for deaf ministries. Our whole ministry, our whole focus is deaf people. If you think about it, deaf people, of course they can't hear, and you think of sign language, but deaf people are a people group that are here in the United States. They're around the world, but they're here in the United States, and unless somebody tells them in their language, they may not understand ever the gospel. Even reading English, many read English as a second language. Most deaf people, their parents never learned sign language. And so the deaf are raised by their peers, raised by those they're same age. You don't get good advice from people like that. And so it's a group of people that really is very, very needy. Our ministry, along with having the literature part of the ministry, we also have a mission board. And we were independent missionaries traveling around the United States in RVs for about 20 years. And then in 2000, we merged our ministry with Silent Word Ministries. And we have a mission board now with missionaries in two different countries, in foreign countries, and then other missionaries around the United States. In fact, I think one of our missionaries was here, Carrie Whaley. Does that name ring a bell? I think we were talking about that this today, and Carrie Whaley was here talking to your ladies at one time, and she is with Silent Word Ministries, and we're excited. She's at 86% of her support right now, and so she's needing just a little bit more, and she'll be headed off to Liberia to teach and to train over there as well. We are a faith-based ministry, and all of us that serve at Silent Word Ministries, I'm the president of the ministry, but that just means I'm the president of the ministry. It doesn't mean there's any salary associated with that. We all raise our own support, and we're all actively involved in reaching and teaching deaf people. And so I do have a few prayer cards I picked up and put in my coat pocket. I was talking in sign language this morning, so pardon me. I have to think what it is in being in a foreign language. And we have a few of those. Please pray for us. Pray for our ministry. We are trying to do way too much and yet not enough at the same time. And so we need help. We need missionaries. We need people burdened for reaching deaf people with the gospel. And so do pray for us. Did want to mention that that if we can be of any help to you in deaf ministry, if y'all know of deaf people in the area, and while we're out in this area, if we can be of help in reaching those people with the gospel, we would certainly love to do that. We also have some tracts and some QR cards. You can ask me for those. If you meet a deaf person, you can give them one of these QR cards. You know, like restaurants and the QR, that thing really got popular during COVID. Well, we took that and turned it to our advantage, to the advantage of the gospel. And now a deaf person can scan those cards and see about 5 presentations of the gospel in sign language, in their language, and you can give that to them and be able to witness to a deaf person without even knowing any sign language. And so do pray for us. My wife, Diane, we travel all the time together, and I'm so excited that we could be here with you tonight. Thank you, Pastor Cook, and we look forward to what the Lord has for us in the sermon tonight. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Barr. What a need. I just thought of another gentleman, Brother Barr, and I cannot remember his name. He came and preached at our church in Oliver Springs, Tennessee. He's a big man. His wife was really small. Had a tremendous outgoing personality. He could speak some, but his volume was in and out because he didn't know him, because he couldn't hear himself. But he signed and he preached, and there was some vocal. And he was quite comical. He was very dynamic in his preaching and did a wonderful job. And then he preached and signed for himself at the same time. And he made a comment, and it's nothing scriptural, but it stuck with me. He made a comment and said, me and my wife never argue at night. Because one of us always turns out the light. So I'll never forget that. But I'll think of his name in a minute. If I saw his picture, I'd know who he was. If I heard his name, I might would know who he was. No, it wasn't Reggie. You're thinking of Reggie Rimple. It wasn't Brother Reggie, but it may have been. I can't remember. It's been a few years ago. I can't remember which furlough it was, but it's been some years back. But no PowerPoint tonight, no handouts. Just want to kind of a little more intimate, take my time. It's more of a short Bible study lesson tonight. I know it's been a long day, and I want to encourage you and kind of pull in a little bit. We've been talking about for the last several weeks praying for your pastor. And tonight I want to give you just a thought out of the book of John, John chapter 11. Simple thought, because someone prayed. And so I want to ask you, and I may repeat myself, but as you turn there, you know, just what is someone who prays? Are we not in many aspects a messenger? We're taking a message to the Lord, either on our own behalf or on the behalf of someone else. And here we have a story that's very common. We've all heard it. I'm not going to take the time to read the whole chapter. One reason is because of my throat and my allergies. But I'm going to read just some excerpts, and I believe most of us have read the story about Lazarus. But John chapter 11, and we'll read a few verses. I'm going to give you a few thoughts tonight. And then I thought we'd have at the end of the service, no invitation, no piano, but at the end of the service, we just have a time of prayer. And I'll lead up to that and lead into why what I want us to pray about and pray for. And I hope it'll be a help and a blessing, and we'll spend some time in prayer together at the end. And speaking of prayer, let's be praying for Brother Barr and his wife as they travel. We know what it's like to live in an RV and travel. My dear wife went on deputation 3 times, once as a teenager and twice as a mom. And so there's a lot of traveling going on, whether it be deputation, whether it be furlough and reporting. And right now there's a great need. There's a tremendous need. And some of us are getting older. Let's just be honest. Let me give a little plug here for our deaf ministry. How many of us, I forgot mine, so unless you're looking at me, I may not hear everything you say. But how many of you got hearing aids on tonight? How many remember the frustration of not hearing as well anymore? Can you imagine having your whole life that way? An aspect of hearing and understanding and learning how to read, learning the sounds, the blends, to learn to read and how they work, not even knowing how the words sound, but just being able to read the words. And it's so important that we are able to be a part of getting the gospel out, not just in English, not just in Spanish or Russian or Romanian or German or Slovak or Hungarian. We can go on to the languages, but also in the sign language. I believe now there's basically 2 forms of sign language. And so there's a great need. I know my wife, Michelle, has learned a little sign. It's been years ago, or one of our daughters has. And she said, you know, I wish I'd have stayed with it. And she says, I would step up and be involved and learn how to sign in a heartbeat. There's a need there. And maybe the Lord may use something in a way where we have a part in the future with having a deaf ministry here or helping others in need that starting a deaf ministry or reaching the deaf in our community. I have no idea how many deaf churches we have, but I know the one he mentioned in Phoenix, and I wonder how far some people drive because that's the only place for them to go. And it's different. It's different. That's enough for that tonight. Please take an opportunity after the services to get with Brother Barr and his family. Talk to them. I'm going to wheel over a little bit. I'm right in the area of that AC, and it's blowing the pages on my Bible. Merriam-Webster's dictionary talks about prayer. It says prayed, praying, pray. It's to entreat, to implore, often used as a function word in introducing a question, request, or plea, or to ask, to get or bring by praying. Tonight, I want to take my time, as I mentioned, and talk some more tonight as we have over the last several weeks about prayer and praying for your pastor, but more in general about prayer tonight. Could the one praying, as I mentioned, be called a messenger? When we have our prayer list here that we pass out fresh and new every Wednesday, every Sunday night from our request from Sunday evening. The Cena family takes the time to update these things. There's an email address on the bottom where you can send updates and changes. We have our missionaries on the back, and we are learning our missionaries. We read a prayer letter every service except Sunday morning. Sunday night, Wednesday night, we read two. It may come to the point that we fit in and read some on Sunday mornings as well. It's important that we know and we pray for our missionaries. They need that prayer support, and we need a prayer life in our personal life as we serve the Lord. So for the sake of our study tonight, I would like for you to think about the messenger in prayer. Their name is unknown. Their stature and age is irrelevant. They are important not because of who they are, but because of what they're willing to do. Are we willing to take the message to Christ on a daily basis? Are we willing to make that plea on the behalf of others? That intercessory prayer, not just my four and no more, but reaching out. We have a list here with small print with many needs that we need to be praying for as we pray for one another. There is a community today that came in and ministered to us. We had this morning almost 50 visitors, if not more. Some of them will return, some of them may not. But the important part is we prayed and we went out and God brought people in. Now it's up to him to go beyond that and convict them. I'm not going to twist arms for people to get saved, but we got to get them in for them to hear the gospel. We need to pray for them that they might be healed spiritually. And as we look at our text here this evening, the messenger went to Jesus on behalf of two sisters. I'm sure that some cared for the sick in many ways as Lazarus lies sick. Some brought food, some provided treatment, some comforted the family, and maybe each role is crucial when ministering to those that are in need. But the messenger, the one who went to Jesus, was most vital in this story. Let's look at our passage in John chapter 11. Let's begin, first of all, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary was anointed the Lord with her ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. They sent a messenger. Now let's look over in another place in our Bible tonight, and let's read verses 17 through 19, the same chapter. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now I want you to look over to verse 39. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where he is dead, where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he said thus, he spoke and cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound head and foot with closed graves, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him, let him go. Then many of the Jews which came unto Mary had seen these sayings which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Father, bless the reading of your word tonight, and just bless these next few moments of the thoughts about because someone prayed, about the aspect of a messenger and our role in bringing people to Jesus, bringing those petitions unto the Lord on the behalf of others. Now, Father, bless, I do ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in these first three verses of the chapter, particularly in verse number 3, we see the messenger. Therefore, my sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. The messenger had a request by these two sisters. Not just anyone could go. Well, let me ask you the question of the thought of your prayer life and how your prayer life is. Would you be asked by someone to carry a special needed message to the Lord in prayer? But do you have that reputation, that aspect of having a relationship with the Lord who walks with God, talks with God, goes to the Lord, beseeches the Lord in prayer? Some may have been too busy. Others maybe didn't know the way or where Jesus was at the time. Some may have been fatigued or may have fatigued too quickly. Ever fall asleep while you're praying? Some were inexperienced, and I believe this is a very important aspect. They needed a diligent ambassador. How often do we pray for something and the Lord doesn't answer, or we feel the Lord hasn't answered and we stop praying? I've met folks through my military career and then later in missions. I met a lady in particular who prayed for her husband for 7 years for him to be saved. And it seems like every night on Wednesday night when we had prayer meetings, she would raise her hand, please pray for my husband, Rob. And she had that compassion and weeping for her husband as she pled with a trembling lip every Wednesday night, just as fresh, knowing that her husband was going to break hell wide open if he didn't get saved. She pleaded with the congregation. She knew folks would go. She needed a diligent ambassador, someone who knew how to find Jesus. Do we know how to find the Lord? Folks, it's so easy. All we have to do is bow our head, and go upon the Lord and pray. But do we do it consistently? Someone who would not quit halfway. Someone who would make the messenger reach Jesus. Someone who had faith to believe Jesus could heal them. You know, we have not because we have not because we ask not. The prayer of faith, James tells us, to heal the sick. Do we have the faith in believing and knowing when we go before the Lord that he will answer? And by the way, sometimes no is an answer. I think of my kids growing up. The worst thing I could do was to say, maybe. We'll see. Because they weren't going to let go. There was hope. When dad said yes, yippee! When dad said no, oh man. But if dad said no, I'll think about it, we'll see. There was great hope and anticipation, and they would continue to ask. How often do we beseech the Lord on behalf of our petitions? I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm not trying to beat myself up, but just let me simply ask you. How often are we praying through this list? How often do we pick it up? How more often will we pick it up and pray if it was our needs that was in here? If it was our great need, it was something on our heart, on our life, if it was our child, our husband, our wife, and dear friends, as a church family, they are our family and our extended family. There was a message here, and we don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us. The Bible just simply tells us, as the sister said, that they sent unto him saying, Lord, we have no idea who it was that went, but we do know, as ambassadors for the Lord, we can go before the Lord in prayer on the behalf of others. We live in a community that needs to hear the gospel. Jesus responded to the requests. Notice that as well. Not only do we see that the messenger sent and carried a message or request, but verses 39 through 45, we see that Jesus responded to the request and he answered openly. And he said, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead for 4 days. The Lord knew exactly how long he had been dead. In fact, the Lord knew that he was sick and knew that he was going to die because he knows all things. But it's good for us to be the messengers ourselves to go before the Lord and to petition. Again, asking, beseeching the Lord on the behalf of others. It's easy to pray for self. It's easy to pray for our kids and our grandkids to be saved. I mean, growing up as a young couple, Michelle and I, we got married. Married so young, that's why we still look young. We got married young. That's why we look like young grandparents. But when we found out we were expecting our first child, we began praying for the soul of that child before they were, once we knew they were conceived, that they would come and know the Lord. We began praying for their future spouse that God would provide for them and began to pray that the Lord would protect them and keep them safe. It was an aspect of prayer and beseeching and going before the Lord and being messengers. Jesus responds to those requests and he responds to ours because someone asked. Someone carried the request. Someone walked the trail. Someone went to Jesus because of a need of others. How is our prayer life? How often do we pray? There in Vietnam, it was the foxhole conversions. What they're calling it now with the Middle East, what's going on, I don't know. But dear friends, no matter how anyone comes to the feet of Jesus, the bottom line is that we need someone to pray. I spent time, as I mentioned before, not only in the military, but pastoring a military church. I don't know how many times I received emails or letters to the mail of parents and grandparents asking me if I knew where a community was, if I knew where a base was, that I might go and tell their grandson, their son, their daughter about the Lord and to invite them to church. I mean, someone who doesn't live there, maybe never been out of their community, never been out of their state, but they wrote a letter, went to the post office, paid the extra postage to go to Germany, asking if a missionary would go and witness to their child or their grandchild. And during that time, there's no doubt that they prayed as well and asked someone to go. And because someone went, Jesus responded. How often do we go? How hard do we go? How long do we go before the Lord? Would Jesus have responded if the messenger had not spoken? Perhaps. No, we have no guarantees. Look at the example. The power of God was triggered by prayer, and Jesus called Lazarus back to life all because someone prayed or went to Jesus. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. As we read in our passage to Scripture tonight and toward the end, the latter part, notice again in verse 45, but many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But notice the next verse. But some of them went their ways into the Pharisees and told them that things Jesus had done. There will be some that will come and hear and respond, and there will be some that go and go their way and never come back. It's not up to us to choose an area. We're to go before the feet of the Lord. We're to go to the Lord in prayer. We're to go out and invite people in that they might hear the gospel, and it's up to the Lord to do the rest. But our part is in bringing them in under the sound of the gospel, going to the Lord in prayer that the Lord might save them, that the Lord might allow them to hear the gospel, the Lord might prepare their hearts for receiving of the word of God. How is our prayer life individually? How is our prayer life collectively? Some time ago, as I mentioned before, I've read a lot of books on prayer. I read the series on John R. Rice. I've read other series that are out there on prayer, and many that are very good. And I read another one. I can't remember who wrote it, but I made some notes. And in this book, here's the comment, a poem or an excerpt, not really a poem, but an excerpt. It says, in the great house of prayer, there is a furnace. The furnace affects the whole house, and our prayers fuel the furnace. Our intercession is coal on the fire. Our pleading are kindling to the flames. The furnace is sturdy. The vents are ready. All that is needed is our prayers. Are we providing the coal? Are we providing the energy? Are we providing that petition to the Lord that the Lord might move and do something? Folks, I don't know about you. The reality of this morning, standing on that auditorium and looking out, and almost every single chair was full. We had 150 here this morning. Probably anywhere from 50 to 70 visitors, probably 40 for the first time ever to step foot in this store at Harvest Baptist Church. We've got some visitors' cards that I'll be able to go through. And looking forward, some did fill them out, some did not. But just like the passage, some will come and hear and believe, and some will go their way. It's not us to worry about it. It's us to worry about our investment. We're to worry about it. It's not just an investment, it's obedience. And going and bringing in that people come in. And let the Lord sort those things out. I know some had heard. In fact, there's a gentleman over this side of the auditorium that raised their hand for salvation. There are some others across the auditorium that raised their hand and knew they needed to be more faithful, involved in church. We hope and pray the Lord and the Word of God will continue to speak to their hearts. But guess what? We can help continue to fuel the fire by praying for them and asking the Lord to do a work and do something that only He can do. I can't imagine. Give me a little room here on some Douglas theology. I don't know who the messenger was. I have no idea. The Bible doesn't say. We just know that word was sent to him. And as anyone, can you imagine being the one that went to the Lord to tell the Lord what he already knew about Lazarus? And being the one to knowing when the Lazarus was healed and rose and he came out of the grave? And I heard the old preacher say, it's a good thing he said Lazarus or every single body in that grave would have came out. But the one that said, hey, I took the message. I went back. I saw the miracle. I was there from the beginning of hearing, making the plea, taking the word, going to the Lord and seeing the Lord answer. Wouldn't it be wonderful to know that as we, through the years to come, as the Lord tarries his return, knowing that we can pray and see folks come in and be a part of the ground level saying, Lord, I begged you to bring them back. Lord, I'm begging you that they'll continue to hear the word. Lord, I'm begging that you would prepare and soften their heart. Lord, I'm begging you, Lord, please be with my pastor. Be with those teaching children's church and Sunday school. It'd help them to reach these boys and girls and moms and dads for the Lord Jesus. It all starts by us being a willing messenger. Going before the Lord, allowing, having the Lord to do what only He can do. Dear friends, will you make a decision tonight? A decision to dedicate a season of prayer each day for your community. A season of prayer each day for your family. And for your church family. Ask the Lord to send revival and start it in your own heart. That those who are dying in their sin will come and know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We see that again in verse 45 and 46. That many of the Jews came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on Him. But there was others that did not depart, but there were some that did, all because someone went to the Lord and gave a message. The Lord came to Lazarus, healed him, and because all that took place, many believed. Dear friends, we have a great opportunity. We're living in a community that's one of the fastest 5-10 growing cities across America. People are coming in and they're going to need to hear the gospel. Some that are coming in, they're going to be looking for a church home. But there are others that are coming in that are going to need to hear. And we are on ground level. We have that opportunity to make a tremendous impact. Sure, we can't do it all, but there's so much that we can do, and the rest trust Christ to do. We can pray, we can go before the Lord. I'll ask tonight, would you join me and ask our Lord to help us to do our part in bringing real change, real revival in the community that we live in. Pray that the Lord will help me as I study and visit, and you join me as those who teach classes, those who are involved in ministry, to study and work each and every week, asking the Lord to give you something, asking the Lord to bring folks in that can hear the gospel. I heard an illustration many years ago, and some time ago, I had a friend of mine. I wished I still had it. I've lost it. In a fire. I don't know where it's at. But I had him build me a huge offering plate. And I remember this gentleman giving an illustration of, and had this circle that he drew in front of the auditorium and basically was given the idea, Lord, bring revival. And he stepped in and said, start with me. And revival starts with each one of us. Individually. Lord, start revival and start it within me, in my heart. Help me to be the messenger that I need to do in carrying the prayers to you, but also the messenger in carrying your word to others that need to hear. See, that messenger aspect needs to be two-way. It's not carrying the message to the Lord, asking the Lord to do something, but taking the message of the Lord and sharing it with others, inviting them to come in. They need to be present to hear the gospel. As we pray, we enter these doors each and every week, asking the Lord to enter here with us, that the Spirit of God would have free reign. And dear friends, as I stood on this platform this morning, and I looked out in the reality of seeing, I think we have 183, 190 chairs. We had 150 people in seats, seeing the full auditorium, the congregational singing. And as I mentioned, folks, man, the congregation, remember this morning? Man, the music sounded great. I tell you what, let's all meet back again here next Sunday morning together and let's have this congregational music all over again. Maybe some of them will come back. But they heard the word, and here's what I want to emphasize. Some will come, some will return, some may not. But our job does not change. We are to be the messenger. We are to be the water carriers for the Lord Jesus. We're to go to him in prayer, take the message to him of prayer on our prayer list, asking God to heal and to touch lives of those who need to be saved, those who need to be healed, those who are suffering with cancer, those who are having other issues, asking the Lord to heal them. And then we're to take what we know in our hearts and our relationship with the Lord and then take the message from him out to others and invite them in. We're to be not just messengers in carrying our prayers to the Lord, but also taking the message of the Lord out into the streets. I'm excited. I was excited this morning, but I also knew the reality that many that came may not be back again. Some of them might have got their feelings hurt. I knew some of them might have been a one and done. Some of you remember, I said this morning, there's some folks that come to church on Christmas and Easter and weddings and funerals, and that's it. I hope some of y'all will be a repeat next week. I love you, but that's the truth. Some of them received it, some of them did not. We'll find out. But the bottom line is, we are messengers. And just like that one that took to Jesus that request, we can go before the Lord and ask him. The messenger had a request. Jesus responded to the request. What will be the request that Jesus responds to in your life? What will be the message that Jesus responds to in our life as Harvest Baptist Church family? Let each of us make a decision to be messengers for the community that we live in, messengers for the needs of our church family, and messengers for the lost and dying world around us. I'm going to do something very unique tonight. I don't want to make anyone uncomfortable. But your pastor is going to go here to the altar and pray. I'm going to ask you to join me. We don't need a piano player. Join me here, join me in the chair, join me here in the front row, anywhere. But let's spend a few moments. And after a period of time, I'll raise my voice and close this in prayer. And let's ask the Lord to do something in our community, in our church, and in our families. That God may turn up this community and turn it upside down for the cause of Christ. And ask the Lord to help you to be a messenger and not only carry your quest to him as we pray for our church family, but also go out with a message of the gospel into our community for those that need to hear. Let's pray.